This is Brian Kane with the Mental Performance Mastery Podcast, brought to you by Fundraising University. Dream big, raise more, and increase your influence and impact through the Scholastic Athletic Experience as a coach with Fundraising University. Click on the link below to learn more about how you can raise more in less time so that you can maximize the Scholastic Athletic Experience for those that call you coach. In this Mental Performance Mastery Podcast, I'm joined by Parker Byrd, the first college baseball player to ever play with a prosthetic leg. Parker made history earlier this year for the East Carolina University Pirates when he got an at-bat, becoming the first player ever with a prosthetic leg to play college baseball. In this podcast, he talks about how he survived a near-death boating accident, the power of a what's-next mindset, the importance of goal-setting for motivation, and how the inch-by-inch approach served him well in his darkest hours, the need to simply stack wins when facing adversity in life, how he's used Jocko's good mindset, and seeing everything in life as a blessing. A podcast that should be listened to by anyone and everyone. Please join Parker Byrd.
Parker, thank you for joining us here on Mental Performance Mastery, man. Super excited to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me on here. I'm pumped.
Yeah, man. Well, Parker, if you would, you know, your story when you got the at-bat for East Carolina, you know, it was viral. We saw it everywhere and just couldn't have been more excited. I mean, I had goosebumps just talking about it, bro. Couldn't have been more excited for you. But take us back to, like, the moment, if you would. Take us back to the accident and what happened so that our listeners that maybe don't know the Parker Byrd story can kind of get caught up, and then we'll dissect some of the lessons and things that you've taken that can really, I think, help everybody live their best life.
Yeah, so I go to East Carolina to play baseball here, and during the summer, we just come to get acclimated to the new environment as freshmen, just coming into a new program, new atmosphere. And so we all came during the summer, just get acclimated to the new environment. And the summer's going great. And one of the recruits had told us pretty early on, like, hey, my family has this river house in Bath, North Carolina, which is only about 40 minutes away from here. We should go down there one weekend and have a good time on the boat, go tubing, and just hang out. And we kind of pushed him off. And it was the last weekend of summer, and he kept on and on. So we're like, hey, let's go down there. I mean, he says it's a good time. Let's go try it out. So went down that Friday night, had a great time, like the guy said. And that Saturday morning, I was supposed to take one of the guys back to Greenville to so he can help this elderly couple move some furniture that he agreed to do pretty early on. And he got a text that morning saying, hey, Miles, thanks for volunteering, but we don't really need your help anymore. So the other guys were pumped, like, hey, let's go back to Midland and have a great time like we did yesterday. So first ride of the day went great when we got back on the tube, and me and Dixon Williams, a teammate of mine, ended up falling off. And then we got back on the tube because the first ride went so good, and the second ride, the driver was a little bit more determined to throw us off, and me and Dixon hit the water pretty hard. And as we hit the water, afterwards we decided just to go back to the boat because we were in some pain. So we're swimming back to the boat, and I was ahead of Dixon by a good bit, and I was using a rope from the tube to help guide myself back into the boat. And as I got within 10 yards or so, the driver decided to put the boat in reverse, or it got knocked into reverse somehow. And the boat ended up sucking me under, and the propeller hit both of my legs and my left hand as well. Mm-hmm. And luckily, the guy that I was supposed to take back home jumped in immediately. He had a friend from back home in Florida that died in a boating accident, and it was kind of similar to mine. And so he knew all the boating 101 and knew that getting help for me was pretty urgent. So he jumped in, helped pull me back onto the boat. And I was telling the guys to take off their shirts so they could tie tourniquets around my legs. And as they were doing that, one of the guys was waving down boats. Well, the first boat stopped and they told him the situation. And the boat was like, basically, no, we can't really help. We have kids on the boat. We don't want to expose them to this scene. And but here's a first aid kit. And the guys were like, this isn't really going to help at this time. So they continued to wave down other boats. And the second boat ended up stopping. And on this boat was two couples. And the reason they were going back in that day was because one of the couples had gotten into an argument and basically said, hey, can you just take me back? So they're on their way back, saw us, stopped. And when they approached our boat and we told them the situation, they agreed to help. So they got me transported on that boat because our boat wasn't able to move due to the rope being caught in the propeller. And so on that boat, one of the ladies on there was a nurse. So she tied more tourniquets around my legs, basically told me everything she was doing. And then from then, they transported me to the marina where there was an ambulance waiting on me. And then they took me to a local hospital in Washington, North Carolina, where they immediately airlifted me to ECU Health in Greenville.
And then, so, you know, talk about a God thing, man, having a nurse on that boat, bro.
Yeah. And then Miles Curley being there, he wasn't even supposed to go. And I mean, he wasn't supposed to be there that Saturday, and he really didn't even want to go that whole entire weekend. We kind of convinced him last minute to go, and he's just kind of had the same attitude we did. I mean, why not? There's nothing to do in Greenville during the summer because it's a college town and there's no college kids in the summertime. So he wasn't even supposed to be there. My parents were flying down the road at like 1:15 on the shoulder of the road. My dad was driving like a maniac just because they were 2.5 hours away back in my hometown, Laurinburg, North Carolina. And so they got a call from my ex-girlfriend at the time, and they just hauled butt all the way to Greenville, and they end up popping with a tire because they were driving 1:15 on the shoulder of the road. And it was like a Saturday at 4 p.m. or so. And my mom's flipping out on my dad because she's like, there's not going to be a tire shop anywhere around that's open. And my dad's just like, look it up. And they were from 400 feet from where they were was a Hispanic tire shop. And they didn't know a lick of English. And there was one tire in the whole entire shop that fit my dad's car. And so they got him back on the road within 5 minutes because they knew how urgent they were, or my parents were at the time. And my sister's in the car as well. But a bunch of God moments, that lady being a nurse, Miles knowing what to do, and just my blood pressure being 60 over 30 on the helicopter and me not being asleep or passed out and being fully conscious of everything that was happening. It's just every little piece was definitely God moments.
Talk about what's going through your mind as this is happening, Parker. You're still awake. You don't pass out. Like,
yeah.
What is that like?
Well, I kept telling myself just stay awake, honestly. And we're doing your mental performance at the time with ECU baseball that summer, because that's one of the main reasons they want us to get up there and get acclimated and everything. And we just literally learned that Friday, the inch by inch, not yard by yard. And I just kept reminding myself that. And honestly, I kept telling myself over and over, inch by inch, inch by inch. But I kind of had this one moment in the helicopter after they gave me every blood product they had, all the plasma that was in the helicopter. I had this moment where I was laying there, but I could feel my body like rise up, and I could see myself laying there as the nurses worked on my body. And so I had a bunch of definitely uncertain thoughts because I knew at that point that I was dying. And I mean, luckily we landed at ACU Health pretty shortly after and they rushed me into the trauma unit. But I was just trying to keep calm and not really freak out, right? Because I didn't look at my legs for a reason, because I didn't want to freak out and I didn't really want to know the extent of how bad the accident was. So I was actually just playing with my left hand because it was cut up pretty bad too, but I could see that. And I just was like, dang, my hand's messed up. That sucks, but I didn't know the extent of my legs.
When did you find out that they were going to amputate the leg?
Yeah, so my accident happened on July 23rd. And I mean, at first, everything was going well. When I got into the hospital, they didn't know where the sciatic nerve was, but they finally got the bleeding to stop. And then a couple surgeries later, they realized that the sciatic nerve wasn't severed and that everything was going to be intact. So for the first 5-6 surgeries, we thought that everything was going well. And then I would say 8 or 9 days or so, my right foot became like pale and cold. And so both my mom and my dad have a medical background. So with them knowing that that wasn't good, they kind of knew that amputation was probably in the future. So I got my leg amputated on August 4th. So there was about 10 days or so where I did still have my right lower extremity, but it was definitely a rocky ride because I went from not knowing if I was going to keep my entire leg to doctor saying that with just some extensive rehab that I would be back to where I was before. And then going to the doctor coming in there at 5:30 in the morning saying, hey, you have two options. Either A, you can continue this mess that we have you on right now, which isn't really working at all. And the infection will end up spreading to your kidneys and your lungs and you'll basically die. Or option B, we can just amputate your right lower extremity. So I was just like, let's amputate and keep going.
So you go through the amputation process and then you start learning to use a prosthetic leg and you've got it to the point now where you're a competitive Division I college baseball player. What has that journey been like for you from going from I get a prosthetic to now I'm an active college baseball player on one of the best programs in the country.
Right.
What's that journey been like for you? What have you learned from that?
I've been trying to keep a mindset the whole time, really, especially early on, of just what's next. And I kind of started that in the hospital. What's next, as in when's my next surgery? When can I get out of here? And then once I got out of there, it's what's next? When's my next rehab? How can I get better without having a prosthetic leg? Because I got out of the hospital late August, and I didn't have a prosthetic leg until December. So, and that was my first leg, which didn't fit very well. The fitting process is very tedious, and there's a lot of little things I was wrong in. Got my first comfortable leg in March. So there was a lot of time where I didn't have two legs to rehab on. So I had to make sure that my core was strong enough, that my left leg was strong enough, that even my right leg could be strong enough to fit the prosthetic. So really just what's next and how can I hit better? How can I, because with the rehab with baseball, I went from sitting on a stool to sitting in a wheelchair, watching pitches go by, tracking velocity of the pitches, and then to sitting on a stool doing one-handed drills, to crutching up on a crutch to do one-handed drills, to finally getting my prosthetic and finally being able to stand up on 2 feet, but not really be too weight-bearing on my right leg. And finally getting that comfortable prosthetic in March to hit with more power and finally make the adjustments in my swing that I needed to make to have enough power to compete at a level that I wanted to compete at. So really just saying what's next and let's just keep moving with life and just going for it, man, because nobody's ever done this. And I'm just trying to pave the way, which hopefully I'm doing a good job of, but just going for it and just with that what's next mindset.
It's amazing, man. How important is it for you, Parker, throughout this entire process to have a goal that I'm going to do this and you hit that goal and then you get momentum and you pick the next one and you hit that next one? How important is the goal setting process been for you throughout this entire journey?
Yeah, I think that was essential because with that what's next mindset is that goal setting. And I think without a goal, there's nothing to strive for. So if I didn't set goals the whole time, I wouldn't get up out of bed at 6 a.m. to go lift. I wouldn't do all this and that to go swim at 5 o'clock in the morning, because having those goals, and obviously you're going to have the ultimate goal, which mine was to get back onto the field, which now is to compete more on the field. Just having the little goals, I think, is even more key, because really just taking it step by step is the only way you can get to that big goal. And everybody has that ultimate goal, but you didn't have that tunnel vision to get there. And I thought that was very key, and I thought I did a really good job of setting those little goals, because once you hit the little W's and just keep stacking those up, then that's whenever things proceed to that ultimate goal.
Man, I mean, you're talking process over outcome right now, Parker. You're talking about stacking wins step by step, inch by inch. You got to have something to strive for, the what's next mindset. Obviously, you're at Planet East Carolina. You're playing for Cliff Godwin. We have a relationship with the program. I've worked with Cliff since before he was at East Carolina. They're big into the mental game. Yeah. Parker, you've mentioned a lot about the mental game here already. Is there anything from the mental game that you feel like you've picked up from your time at East Carolina that has been valuable to you going through this journey that you feel like would be valuable for anybody that you're speaking to about overcoming adversity or living their best life?
Yeah. One of the best things, or the most valuable things that I picked up through just coming to ECU, because we are very big on the mental game, is the good, like just good, because I think everything in life is a blessing, and no matter if it doesn't look good at the time, I've realized that it will be good in the end, because it either makes you a better human or makes you stronger. And if it is a positive outcome, then obviously that is good as well. So I think that's the biggest thing. And I mean, I say it all the time in my head, good, because I have this opportunity, and people would die for this opportunity. And I'm blessed enough to play this game. So everything's a blessing. And man, we're playing a kid's game at the ultimate level. So good is probably the best thing that I've learned at my time here so far.
Love that. Love that. Everybody who's listening here, you can engage with Parker Bird on Instagram at Parker Bird with two D's. That's P-A-R-K-E-R-B-Y-R-D-D. Parker, if there's anybody listening to this that's been moved like I have by your story, and they want to have you come speak to their team, they want to maybe get you on a Zoom call with their students, what's the best way for people to contact you to get some more inspiration from you?
Yeah, you can contact me through my Instagram. That's my personal Instagram at the moment, but there's a website in the works that is actually about to be posted on there. So you can go through that website. That will be on there very shortly, or you can just email info@parkerbird16.com, and I'll get in touch with you there too.
Awesome. We'll make sure we post those links for anybody who's interested in getting in contact with Parker in the show notes below. Parker, I know you're jamming to another speaking opportunity here, man. So appreciate you fitting me in. Last question for you, man. Through your experience, there's people out there suffering. There's people out there struggling, wondering if losing hope. Can I do this? Can I overcome this? Can I go back to achieve my goals? They've experienced a roadblock. They've experienced a hiccup.
Uh-huh.
What advice would you give to people going through those difficult times that have maybe started to lose some hope and wonder if they can do it? Because you've done it, man. You became the first guy ever, ever in college baseball, which they've been doing for a long time, to play with a prosthetic leg. What advice would you give to those people that maybe are losing hope, man?
Yeah. My biggest thing was just trusting on God's plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says that his plan is not to hurt us, that he wants to prosper us and use it for good. So I've been just lean on that, lean on the word, and know that his plan is better than ours, because obviously everybody has a plan. Everybody has those goals that we're talking about, but maybe that's not in the future. My goal was to be a starting shortstop for East Carolina my freshman year. And everything was in the works. Everything was happening. The shortstop got drafted that year right before me, and everything was there for me, but that wasn't God's plan. And now looking back on it, I wouldn't change a thing, because it's allowed me to have the platform I have today to seek those people, to help people that are going through what I went through, and just be a mentor to them. So that God's plan is bigger than ours, and that just leaning on him and trusting in him is ultimately the best thing you can ever do.
Parker Bird, you're a living inspiration, man. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate you, man.
Thanks for being here, brother. Dominate the day. Again, if you're trying to get in contact with Parker Bird, Instagram, Parker, B-Y-R-D-D, by email, info@parkerbird16.com. You can check them out below. Follow the Pirates. Parker, thanks for being here, man.
Thanks, Kenner. See you, man.
I hope you got as much out of that podcast with Parker Bird as I did. What an inspiration Parker is to all of us about how to make adversity your advantage and how to overcome the difficulties in life. I can't encourage you enough to engage with Parker on Instagram or through email. If you're looking for an inspirational speaker for your team or your school, check out the links in our show notes below. And if you liked this podcast, please be sure to leave a rating and a review and give us a follow and a subscribe wherever you're listening to your podcasts. Also in the show notes below, please be sure to take my free 3-day athletes mini course. And if you're into baseball, my free baseball masterclass, as well as check out our sister companion podcast, Mental Performance Daily, where we give you 2 to 3 minutes a day of mental performance mastery so that you can dominate the day.